What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex, and we've got another bonus episode for you here with a fantastic guest. He is the creator behind a lot of different things, but the specific thing that we're going to be talking about today is Wolverine Weapon X and Exploration, which is part of the Marvel Age of Comics line. It's coming out June 11th from Bloomsbury Academic, and I'm very excited to talk to the writer behind it, Jim Rugg. Jim, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Alex. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. And I really enjoyed this book. It's a weird thing. I was trying to think about questions and I was like, oh, I don't want to do that because it's a spoiler, but there's no spoilers here. It's an exploration, like the title says, of Weapon X and the history. We've talked to folks from this series before, and they're basically deep dives. It depends book to book, but they're usually like on something very focused in comic book history. Here we're talking about mostly, you widen it out a little bit, widen the lens, but the Barry Windsor Smith Weapon X series. And I know you talk about this in the book right at the top, but why this and why Wolverine?
Well, I was reading this whenever it was first published. You know, it was published in Marvel Comics Presents, and I had read an article about Weapon X a couple of weeks before it was published. And I was a big fan of Wolverine. I was probably 12 or 13 at the time. So Wolverine always had the coolest artist. That was what I was most interested in. But I was also new to comics and I didn't have a comic book store. And whenever I saw the preview article about Weapon X and I saw Barry Windsor Smith's artwork for the first time, nothing would have made me more excited at that point, because I think he's one of the great, maybe the best figure artists to work at Marvel Comics. And I hadn't seen his art before, and he was drawing my favorite character, and all those things just lined up. And so I was anticipating that book before it came out. I bought all the issues. It was a 13-part, you know, serialized over 13 issues, ran, you know, 6.5 months. And I loved it. You know, I had never read a comic like that before. And so when the Marvel Age of Comics editorial staff approached me about writing a book, I gave them several ideas, and Weapon X was one of those top ideas. It's a story that I've revisited as an adult, and I think I like it and appreciate it a lot more now than I did even as a kid, and I loved it then. And that's rare. You know, people change a lot. So I read this for the first time 35 years ago, and it was before I was a professional creator. It was before I really knew very much about comics history. And it appealed to me a great deal. But as I've gotten older and I've revisited it, every time I appreciate it more. So the chance to kind of dive in and write about it was really appealing. I haven't written a long piece of comics criticism like this before. So the stars just aligned. And, you know, Weapon X was the perfect subject matter for me.
I feel like this is going to be an impossible question. Certainly it would be an impossible question for me to answer, but you touched on the fact that, like, yes, you are now an accomplished designer, you're an accomplished artist, you're an accomplished creator, but I assume you're a little bit unformed at 13. So what was it specifically that you responded to in this book?
At that age, it was so violent. Okay. You know, I liked Wolverine, and his origin story was unknown. It was a big part of his, it seemed like it was a big part of the popularity of the character, was he was kind of mysterious. We didn't really know where he came from. The comics code was still a thing. I was buying comic books at a newsstand in my town. So that's mostly Marvel and DC comics, very PG, you know, kind of almost all ages at the time. And Weapon X, for anybody that hasn't read it, is brutal. I think it's both brutal and beautiful, but it's brutal. It's very violent. Wolverine is abducted early in the story. He's heavily drugged. He's experimented on by kind of this paramilitary industrial complex that's adding metal to his bones and testing him out against wild animals, testing him out against humans, quite frankly. And that level of violence, you know, I was watching R-rated action movies and R-rated horror movies at the time, and Weapon X felt a lot more like those horror movies than anything else I had seen in comics. So a big part of it, you know, was, wow, I've never seen a comic like this. You know, I think it's, Windsor Smith is an absolutely beautiful artist. So on one hand, I'm looking at it as a fan and I'm trying to copy panels and, you know, the Wolverine poses look cool. And I'm just marveling at, like, this is one of the most beautiful comics I've ever seen. And on the other hand, I'm like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. This feels like an R-rated, like a slasher movie at times, which was also very appealing because that was a lot of the content that I was getting outside of comics. So I was a comics fan for maybe fun stories, but really for the artwork. And a lot of the stories I liked, I was finding elsewhere. And Weapon X kind of brought some of those elements in. You know, I was reading Stephen King and authors like that at the time. So to see something that was a little bit more like body horror and slasher film, like, that was just awesome to me. As it, at that age, I was the perfect reader for it, you know, based on my other interest. And there weren't other comics that I had access to that were like that. Certainly, I have found other comics like that, you know, since then. But it was just very, very different. And different has always appealed to me. You mentioned in the introduction, you know, if you look at my body of work, it's very different. The stuff that I've done in my career, that's always been appealing to me. I've said it before, but the easiest way to hire me is to ask me to do something I haven't done before, which is something that this book kind of, you know, was very appealing whenever it crossed my desk. And so that was probably one of the biggest appeals of Weapon X when I was a young reader the first time I saw it. It was just like, I don't know what this is, but I'd love more of it.
First of all, you have a much better recall of being 13 than I do, because my answer would be like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on then. But I wanted to ask you about one specific thing you mentioned in there. At that age, were you aping the drawings? Were you sort of like looking at them and trying to copy them at that point? Is that how you started along your road of training yourself to be an artist?
Yes, 100%. And I would copy everybody. You know, I remember copying Todd McFarlane's Spider-Man number one cover, which a lot of the stuff that I liked was very hard to copy. You know, it was very detailed. It was a little bit wonky. But I tried copying Barry Windsor-Smith's Weapon X artwork from Comic Scene magazine before the book was even published. Like, I saw a couple of the promotional images. I think it was a cover to issue one was one of the images in there. And I have a vivid memory of trying to copy that first cover. You know, he's half in costume and half naked in front of a skull. And yeah, that's exactly what I would do is try to copy these artists or these images that I found appealing.
You've already been touching on this a little bit, but certain stories have kind of a gravitational pull for the characters. Like, you think about Spider-Man, it's usually his origin story. He's always coming back to that. This obviously is a origin story or a part of the origin. It's not Wolverine origin, but it really is the thing several years into Wolverine being a character that keeps pulling him back. Writers keep going back to that story. Artists keep going back to that story. So why this in particular? I mean, I know that's what this book is about, but like, why does this story have that gravitational pull?
Well, I think you nailed it. Superhero characters are often identified and known for their origin. You know, Superman being an alien that comes here and is kind of this American immigration story. Batman, you know, seeing his parents gunned down whenever he was at an impressionable age. Spider-Man's origin, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, and the radioactive spider. These characters are often defined by their origins, which is part of what made Wolverine so unique. You know, when this story comes out, Wolverine had been around for 15 years and was probably, you know, right behind Spider-Man for Marvel's most popular characters in 1991. And to make an origin that holds up that we're talking about 35 years later, I think is a remarkable achievement. And you have to think about who Wolverine was as a character and what type of origin would make him that way. And as a character, he was a raging animalistic killer. To be that character, to be that as a superhero, imagine what sort of trauma the character has to go through to come out the other end in that state. And this is a character that's known for healing from practically any kind of, you know, wound. Like, there's no mortal wound you could give Wolverine that he can't heal from. And yet he's never overcome that origin, you know, being tortured, being stripped down really to a base primal level. As they're trying to like mind control him. They're not just trying to make a weapon or a military killing machine. They're trying to erase the man inside of it. And to do that, they're giving him drugs. They're torturing him. They're in every way debasing him. And it's a really impressive feat, I think, by Barry Windsor-Smith to actually find an origin that explains this killer that was so popular and remains popular, you know, in Marvel lore to this day. Not an easy achievement, and not especially an easy achievement whenever you think about how integral most origin stories are to these superhero characters. And I think that's part of why this story has remained viable. You know, it's been reprinted so many times. I feel like it's probably one of Marvel's most in-print stories. You know, it's constantly new editions coming out. And I think it's because it really fits that character very well, as dark as that may be. But the character's a killer, so, you know, the origin is going to be pretty dark.
Yeah. Let's talk about actually making the book itself. Like you said, this is the first time you've really done something like this. So what was the process like? What were your challenges? Where did you reach a hiccup where you're like, oops, I did that wrong, and kind of have to back up and do it again?
Yeah. So I, you know, this is the first time I'm writing something like this, and it was early on in the Marvel Age of Comics development. So in the proposal stage, I submitted a really detailed proposal. In hindsight, I would say I wrote half of the book in the proposal.
Okay.
The book is 13 parts, just like the original Weapon X was serialized in 13 parts. And I wanted to come at it from every angle that I could think of, to appeal to as wide of an audience as possible. So if you're coming here because you love Wolverine, I have chapters on Wolverine, the character, who the character was at the time, you know, that the book came out. If you're coming and you have an appreciation for the art form of comics, I get into some of the more esoteric elements of that, because we have a master cartoonist, Barry Windsor Smith, and I believe this is his masterpiece. I talk about Barry Windsor Smith, you know, so that you get some of the comics history behind this particular work. And I basically just brainstormed out. I think I even started in a sketchbook of kind of like writing Weapon X, you know, in a circle in the middle, and drawing balloons out of like all these different thoughts I had about Weapon X. And of course, I reread the story, you know, with the idea of what do I see in this story, you know, that I would want to write about and highlight. And, you know, I just started almost like I start most projects and trying to brainstorm, you know, kind of take the editor cap and take that off and put it somewhere else for that first just idea dump. And then you start to shape those ideas. I'll be honest, it was not, there wasn't a moment that I hit where I was like, oh, I don't know how to get this in, or the editors are fighting me on this. It was a really pleasurable experience. It makes me want to write more. But it was very much kind of this method of dump everything out, you know, on a piece of paper or in a Word document so that you can kind of see it. And then you start editing and kind of grouping things together as to how do these make sense. I knew pretty early on the structure that I wanted to do 13 parts to parallel the original story. Some of them I knew right away, you know, I want to talk about Barry Windsor Smith. I knew that was going to be a chapter or a section. And some of the other ones would just kind of form based on ideas that I had put down on paper. And I thought, you know, coloring and lettering, those things are kind of not often talked about. You know, if they're done well, you might not even notice them as a reader. So those ended up in a chapter together. So it was a variety of topics. And, you know, being a little bit insecure as a first time writer, I did want to try to take the 20,000 foot view of this work. And, you know, how does it fit in pop culture? How does it fit in Marvel Comics history, superhero comics history? And you know, try to come at it as thoroughly as I could.
Yeah. One of the things that I really like about this series is you can feel the voices in the backgrounds of the different people who are tackling them. I'm blanking on one, but there's one written by somebody who was heavily involved in editorial and came from it at the subject from an editorial direction. Getting to the chapter in the book where, oh, of course you're doing a chapter about coloring and lettering. You want to look at it from the design perspective. I love seeing that. That's all. Not a question, more of a statement.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Was there anything that you learned that you didn't know about Weapon X going into this project that now you were surprised by while you were working through it? Or no, you knew everything. You were good.
You know, I'm sure there was a lot. I had read it, you know, a few times before this in more of a pleasurable way. Going through this time, I was paying closer attention to kind of how everything was built, you know, the storytelling, so to speak. I was familiar with some of that stuff because I do remember reading Barry Windsor Smith interviews, you know, and I went through those again to pull material. One of the things that I've kind of figured out in the process of writing the book is early on, I read interviews with him and he talked about Chris Claremont, who wrote X-Men for 15 years, longer now because he's come back to the characters many times, but he wrote Uncanny X-Men for 15 years. He took that book from obscurity to the best-selling comic book, I guess, in Marvel history. He had his own ideas on Wolverine's origin. And Barry Windsor Smith was doing Weapon X for Marvel Comics Presents, which was outside of the main X-Men editorial offices. So Barry Windsor Smith worked outside of the Marvel system and would just come in with, like, here's an 8-page story of Weapon X. Here's, you know, a couple 8-page stories of Weapon X. And the editors would go through and make sure everything was okay. And he was already working on Weapon X whenever Chris Claremont found out, hey, Barry Windsor Smith is doing an origin story about this character that I've been writing for 15 years. And as a result, they talked about Chris Claremont's ideas for Wolverine's origins. He had some. I don't think he ever got around to telling them, but he had very specific ideas on who gave Wolverine his claws and who bonded the metal to his bones. And so Barry Windsor Smith kind of used that character. We never see that character, but there is a character that's like a mastermind who the characters within Weapon X program are answering to, at least the leader of the Weapon X program that we see. And we never see this other character, but his presence is felt. And I never saw this in print, like who the actual character was, because Chris Claremont leaves X-Men, I think, in 1991. So he never gets around to telling that story. And Barry Windsor Smith is pretty obscure in the way he handles this character, but there are references, he says, in the story. And from rereading it, I decided that character was Apocalypse, a pretty well-known mutant character in the X-Men world, but I couldn't find it anywhere. I couldn't find proof of that anywhere. And I even interviewed the editor, Terry Cavanaugh, and he said he wasn't sure about that. After the book was printed, I have found out there's a Spanish, supposedly, I haven't seen it, but someone told me this, there's a Spanish collection of Weapon X, and there's an interview in the back of that, and they Barry Windsor Smith reveals that it was indeed Apocalypse, or it was supposed to be Apocalypse. I think continuity went in a different direction, so that's never come to pass. But that was something that I didn't really know before kind of diving in and really reading it and looking closely.
Wow, that is very cool. I got to look into that one myself. This is taking a step back and not the subject of the book, but just while we're talking about Wolverine origins and things, not to put you on the spot, but do you have a take on the whole Roy Thomas putting his name on Wolverine and claiming ownership thing?
I haven't read the actual transcript of what Roy Thomas said, so I don't have a strong opinion on there. I do remember seeing John Romita drawings of the Wolverine, like, you know, the design of the costume and stuff. And to my knowledge, I don't think John Romita is credited as a creator of Wolverine, but I think he may have created the visual look of Wolverine. And in a comic book, you know, that's a big part of the character. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. You know, I could see that being reasonable. I don't know how much Roy Thomas was involved with plotting. Like, the way the editors roll in comics, it changes from company to company. I think it changes from editor to editor. I think it changes from editor-in-chief to editor-in-chief in terms of how much influence does the editor have over the stories and shaping those stories early on. You know, sometimes an editor shows up to a writer and says, we are doing this with a character, give me a pitch. And so part of the story is kind of handed to you. And I don't know exactly what Roy Thomas's role was in that. So, you know, the timing, I don't think looks great. You know, waiting until the you know, I think Len Wein and Herb Trimpe were always considered the creators of Wolverine. So waiting until they pass to then lay claim to the character, I think is probably, it's not ideal timing. It doesn't look great, but again, I have not read his statement and I certainly have no idea how that creative team worked. So I can't really say.
All right. Just curious, since we were talking about Wolverine history, not to put you on the spot, like I said, let's get back to this book. So
I will say this.
Yes, please.
There's some great Weapon X information in that first appearance of Wolverine in Hulk 181. And I think even in Hulk 180, like the little cameo first appearance, the Weapon X program is discussed in that early appearance. And it's right in line with what we think of as Wolverine's origin, what was in the Weapon X program. It's kind of amazing. And I do reference that in the book a little bit, because there wasn't a lot of information about Wolverine's past up to that point, but the stuff that was there in like the first appearance, it fits well. It's kind of interesting how well it fits. Cause I don't know that those creators had anything like Barry Windsor Smith's Weapon X in mind, but it really fits like a glove, you know, from a looking back on a perspective. And Barry Windsor Smith talked about the reason he wanted to do this story is he thought it would allow him to be free of Marvel continuity, something he was not interested in. And yet, you know, it lines up perfectly with what little bit of information was there regarding Weapon X.
Yeah. We're about a month away from the release as we're taping this, so this is way too early to be asking you this. But now that you've gotten the Weapon X book out of the way, do you have another one in mind? Or given what you said earlier about never wanting to do the same project twice, are you like, nope, I did it, I'm good?
I would be open to doing another book like this. I've actually met with Marvel about doing some other books, because those aren't too far along. I don't want to get into any details about them, but I do expect to write more about comics history and do a little more comics criticism, because this was such a good experience. And there's certainly a lot of subjects I'm interested in, from creator backgrounds and kind of almost monographs of different creators to even multimedia, you know, like painting in comics and mixed media in comics is a topic I'm interested in. And, you know, touch on a little bit in Weapon X with some of the coloring stuff. So, yes, I would be open to doing more of this. I have had conversations about doing more of this. We'll see what actually comes to pass. It's so early, I'd be silly to say anything's actually happening right now.
Sure. What else is happening, though? You always have a lot of stuff going on. We recently talked to Steven Bissett about Tyrant, which I believe you worked on, which is an awesome project. So we've got a whole podcast people can listen to about that. But what else do you want to plug, if anything?
Well, I am still doing the design for the Steven Bissett Tyrant books. There are two books that we're putting out, and I am, I don't know, about 75% of the way through there. We've actually closed the book because Steve has been going through his archives and uncovering amazing stuff. And we've gotten to the point where it's like, we have to kind of like, we've got what we can, you know, include unless something unbelievable shows up. So that is wrapping up. I expect to have that finished in the next month. I just sent my next zine. I make a lot of zines in addition to comics. I just sent my next zine to press this morning. And that is, warning, graphic violence, the Jim Rugg Blood Squad 7 covers. It has, I had been doing covers for Blood Squad 7, an image series by Joe Casey and Paul Fry. It is kind of, it's similar to Youngblood in a lot of ways. And what Joe hired me to do was variant covers set in a fictitious 1992 version of this book, which turned out to be one of the funnest jobs I've ever had. I ended up making 15 covers total, and they are referencing things like the Rob Liefeld Extreme Studios, which I was a huge fan of at the time. And that's Stephen Platt and Jay Lee and Rob Liefeld himself, and just kind of an attitude. You know, that stuff was really bombastic and dynamic and colorful. So I had a really good time making these covers, and I wanted to show off the original art and the sketches and kind of the back and forth between the writer Joe Casey and me as we would put these covers together. So I have a 48-page full-color glossy zine of that coming out that'll debut at Heroes Con. And my full-time job is now making comics. I went back to work after 20 years as a freelancer, and I am now working for Gary Vaynerchuk on his comics line called V Friends. And I started there last fall. I think I have written and drawn 4 comics for him so far, and written 4 other comics with artists, which is the first time I've written for other artists. So it's been kind of a just a mind-bending experience. working this way. You know, it's not the way I've made comics in the past. I don't know if you're familiar with Gary Vaynerchuk, but he moves a 1,000 miles an hour. It's been very exciting kind of working closely with him. I've gone to work retreats where we kind of will plot out stories and stuff for upcoming issues. And I come home all kind of like I stuck my finger in a light socket. And my wife's like, what, you know, what happens? And it's like, I had no idea how much I don't know about comics. And that is an amazing feeling. You know, I've been making comics since 2000, almost full time. I quit my day job in 07. So I've been making comics full time for 20 years. And to kind of be having this many new experiences at this stage, it's been a great thing for me creatively. So that one takes up a lot of my time. And I think that's probably the main projects. I'm probably forgetting one or two, but that's what I've been working on lately, Alex.
Well, that's all awesome stuff. And just a reminder for people out there, Wolverine Weapon X and Exploration is coming out June 11th from Bloomsbury. So you can order it right now at your local store. Jim, thank you so much for chatting.
I have one more thing I forgot.
Ooh, yeah, yes.
I'm so sorry, because this is a really big one. Power Pulp Comics. Power Pulp Comics is a collective of self-publishers that I joined last fall, and it's been amazing. I think there are over 40 members now. We have all of our comics available from one source, powerpulpcomics.com. What that does is allows all the listeners out there right now to try a bunch of comics and pay shipping from one source, rather than if you went to all these individuals, and shipping, as everybody knows, is very expensive these days. But you can also sample a lot of work very easily there. We are also selling that wholesale to shops and retailers. So it's allowed us to kind of act as a distributor. And I come from self-publishing. I've returned to self-publishing. I absolutely love self-publishing. I think it's some of the most creative work that is out there. And these are some of the best self-publishers working, including names like Rick Veitch, recently joined. I've made some videos for that as well. You know, anybody unfamiliar with me, I spent 6 years doing daily videos on Cartoonist Kayfabe with the late Ed Piskor, where we just talked comics, interviewed creators, kind of dove deep into comics history and the craft of comics. So I have even made some new videos for Power Pulp Comics that are available on the Power Pulp Comics YouTube channel, including finding a self-publisher who published one comic with his brother in 1984. And when I found it, I fell in love with it and tracked him down and got to make a video about him and kind of his life and his experience making that comic and what he's up to since then. So Power Pulp Comics is a really, I think it's an exciting new initiative that I'm thrilled to be a part of. And we're just about to celebrate 1 year anniversary of Power Pulp Comics. So that's something I'm really excited about, and I can't believe I almost forgot to mention it.
I'm glad you did. That sounds awesome. Jim, thank you again for chatting. Really appreciate your time, and I'd say looking forward to the book, but I read it. I loved it. Everybody should check it out.
Thank you so much, Alex. I appreciate it.
Blow your mind.